From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Name of the Lord Jesus, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Trust and Do, Do and Trust. The text is found in Psalm 37 and verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Trust and do are words which go well together in the order in which the Holy Spirit has placed them. We should have faith, and that faith should work. Trust in God sets us upon holy doing. We trust God for good, and then we do good. We do not sit still because we trust, but we arouse ourselves and expect the Lord to work through us and by us. It is not ours to worry and do evil, but to trust and do good. We neither trust without doing, nor do without trusting. Adversaries would root us out if they could, but by trusting and doing we dwell in the land. We will not go into Egypt, but we will remain in Emmanuel's land, the providence of God, the Canaan of covenant love. We are not so easily to be got rid of as the Lord's enemies suppose. They cannot thrust us out nor stamp us out. Where God has given us a name and a place, there we abide. But what about the supply of our necessities? The Lord has put a verily into this promise. As sure as God is true, his people shall be fed. It is theirs to trust and to do, and it is the Lord's to do according to their trust. If not fed by ravens, or fed by an Obadiah, or fed by a widow, yet they shall be fed somehow. Away, ye fears!
Lord,
As believers in Jesus Christ seek to witness to the unsaved, they are frequently met by a variety of questions. These might include such queries as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or, how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions on a DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. Acts chapter 3 records the first miracle wrought by the apostles after Pentecost, the healing of the lame man at the temple. Dr. Cairns has noted the time of the miracle, the hour of prayer. It's always true that prayer and power go together. Of paramount importance is the fact that the healing of the lame man was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the key to the teaching of the chapter, the power of Christ's name. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, the miracles performed by the apostles marked the beginning of a new epoch in the history of the church, something that has been true in previous eras. However, these sign miracles were gradually withdrawn once the church was established and the canon of Scripture was closed. It's important to note that New Testament miracles were always to the purpose of preaching the gospel, not to draw attention to personalities. Now to continue this message entitled, The Name of the Lord Jesus, here is Dr. Cairns.
There is power in the name of Jesus. But you will notice also what I'm saying, that there is no resemblance between this healing and the modern healing movement. First of all, you will see the connection here between the sign and the sermon, or the miracle and the message. The healings did not supersede preaching, but where they became a means unto preaching. And you will notice that Peter very quickly got off the sign and on to the sermon. Got them away from the signs of the Savior. You will notice also that here in verse 12, there is a very deliberate attempt, and I think a successful attempt by Peter, to make sure that there is no promotion of the human instrument. Peter says, don't look at us. as though by our own power or holiness we had done this. Don't look at us as if we were anything. And immediately downgrades the instrument and upgrades the Savior. And of course, I think that ultimately verse 7 and verse 16 give you the best answer to the modern day healing movement as a counterfeit. I have seen pictures of people supposedly healed. I have been sickened when some of these evangelists have sent me their literature. And these great healings, in fact, I've seen where they've even been raised from the dead. And where they sent little pieces of wood from the platform on which this particular American evangelist was standing when this miracle occurred away in the back of the crowd where somebody was raised from the dead. Well, these things always happen in the middle of darkest Africa, for a start, where you and I can never go and find out. Second, the picture of this particular miracle was subjected to scrutiny by photographic experts, and I saw the interview the BBC did with the leader of this movement in its British branch, and it was found to be what's known as a composite picture. In other words, it was various pictures stuck together to make it looked like it was one picture. They said, of course, it was just their lens wasn't big enough, and they were taking this all in two or three shots, but it was honest enough. But you will notice this. I've seen the pictures. These people who are healed have never walked. They still have a leg that looks like a crutch. They have one sound leg and one spindly leg. Oh, they've got healed in there. They're limping along. I don't believe that's the way the Lord healed these people. In fact, I'm sure of it. It says this man had never walked, but now God gave strength to his ankle bones. In verse 16, he gave him perfect soundness. And I don't believe if you'd looked at this man's leg, he had one good leg and one spindly leg, that he had one that was well-developed and the other that wasn't well-developed, or indeed that both were underdeveloped. I don't believe that for a minute. I believe that God perfectly healed this man. When God heals, he does it right. And when you apply that standard of judgment to the modern healing movement, you'll find it is so much of a counterfeit. Let's get back to very seeing scriptural grounds on this business. Now consider the healing spiritually. The impotence of this cripple, I think, sets forth the impotence of the Jews and of sinners generally. I think it's a touching thing that this man was led every day at the door of church-going people. And they weren't able to do a thing to help him. His condition was beyond their power. At the end, as far as they were concerned, he just had to lie there. His defect was from birth. And his power to walk was taken from him. Couldn't do a thing. There were the church-going people walking by him, and they couldn't help him. My friend, are there not people all around us who have the defect from birth, who are crippled by sin, indeed slain by sin, and they're led daily at our door, and we walk past them, and we're like these Jews, there is nothing that we can do for them. My, it's a tragedy to see a powerless church. It's tragic to see powerless Christianity, to see powerless preaching, because this is something that is an intrinsic contradiction. Christianity should equal power. We don't have that kind of power today. Oh, I know that now and again we see flashes of blessing and flashes of power, but I think we have got to come down to brass tacks and realize things for what they truly are. We today have a Christianity that is so vastly devoid of power. We have got to be burdened about this, that every day we're brought in contact with souls and we can do nothing about it. We can do nothing about their condition. But just like the Jews, leaving this man as he was. I also got to thinking when I read this, the man lying outside was impotent. But was he any worse than the people who were going inside? Really? There's the sinner on the outside of the temple, And there are the other sinners on the inside of the temple. They both needed the Lord Jesus Christ. They both needed the cleansing of the blood. They both needed the regenerating grace of the Spirit. They both needed to be saved. You see, you can go to hell via the world's broad way of public scandal and sin. You can go to hell like a drunkard or a drug addict or something like that. But my friends, you can equally go to hell by a church pew. You can equally go to hell rejecting Jesus Christ with all the trappings of religion and with all the pomp and the pageantry of religious observance. These people were going in through the beautiful gate. My, you can see the ornate temple all around about them. You can see them as they genuflect. To this day, you will go to watch Jews praying at the Wailing Wall. And you will see how, either standing or sitting, they rock forwards for hours with an insistency, back and forth, showing supposedly their insistency and their passion in prayer. My friend, with all that, they were unsaved. The impotent man, the sinner outside the temple, and the equally impotent and sinful inside the temple. Oh, you would need to make sure that you're genuinely saved today, because you can be a sinner whatever your stated relationship to an external organization may be. I also thought when I read this, you can see the religious Jews, and there they are, and they're tossing a few coins to this man on the way by. He's sitting there, and of course he's glad to get their coins. I'm not for one moment underestimating the generosity of the Jews in this. In fact, they would put most Christians to shame. When you visit Israel, this is one thing you will see, that Arabs and Jews together, when they see the beggar sit, my, they are very careful to throw what they can, some of them out of great poverty. I've seen it time and time and time again. The poor beggar is very glad to get it. So I'm not underestimating it. But spiritually speaking, here are these Jews, and they're tossing a few coins to this man, and then they left him in his misery. In other words, his basic need was untouched. They were making it easier for him to endure his misery. But really, they abandoned him. They abandoned him to his hopeless estate. Don't we have people like that today? Tell me, what's the World Council of Churches doing across the world? It's exactly what it's doing. It's tossing a few coins to the lost. What are the social gospelers doing? They're going to people who need to be saved. And they're merely trying to change their physical environment, and they're trying to make it easier for them to live in their miserable condition, but they're abandoning them to their basic need, and they're saying, we can't do anything to help you. It's exactly what they're doing. Thank God Peter and John were not in the social working business merely. They were in the soul-winning business, and therefore they came. It's interesting that the man expected to receive something from them. Let me say this. We're fundamentalists, and we need to keep this in mind. We talk about the apostates who will go to the mission field, and all they will do is they'll provide tractors and seeds and all the rest of it to make life a little easier for the people. Well, now, that's not to take the place of gospel preaching. Certainly, it's wrong for them to substitute social work for the gospel. My friend, those people expect something from those who profess to belong to the Lord. They expect something. And I think it's a tragedy that apostates can send people to go. I think it a tragedy that highly qualified men who are not saved are willing to go to give their few coins to the ungodly world. And yet in most fundamentalist churches, you've got Christians and they won't go. There's no burden for a world that's lost in sin. So while we criticize the apostate ecumenical movement and the social gospel movement, let's not be one bit behind in criticizing our own movement. For its lack of love, its lack of concern, and its lack of soul-winning endeavor. Where are the young men today who are going out to blaze a trail for God? Where are the young men today who are really giving body and soul to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, they're few and far between. You'll notice those words of Peter's. He says, silver and gold have I none. That's his poverty. You get into God's work, there'll be many a time when you're in that position. But that's where he was, silver and gold have I none. Now, he would never have been a millionaire as a fisherman in Galilee, but I'll tell you, he would never have been in that position either. So he had given up all to follow the Lord. But with his poverty, you'll notice his plenty. For he says, such as I have. What did he have? Well, he didn't have silver, he didn't have gold, but he did have the Lord. He didn't have money that he could use to sway great men of this world and exercise great influence in this world. But he did have power with God. He could pray. He had authority with the Lord. And he says, such as I have. And then you'll notice his generosity. Give I unto thee. There's an awful lot of us here this morning. We have a lot from the Lord. I don't think there's one, even the poorest, can say, silver and gold have I none. The Lord has left us something. So he hasn't reduced you to the poverty that Peter had. But the Lord has given us bountifully. I want to talk for a minute to you young people who say you're saved. God has given you salvation. He's given you health. He's given you strength. He's given you life. What are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? My, we're living in a day when so many Christian young people are, well, they say they're Christian young people. They're dressed up atheists. Oh, they say they believe in God, but if we really believed in God, if we really believed in Jesus Christ, if we really believed in heaven and hell, if we really believed there was a lost world there, would there be such a terrible task in getting Christian young people to go out and start doing something for God? Would there? Do you tell me that people who really believe in the power of the gospel, really believe that there's power given them from God to go out and win souls, are going to sit back and let the whole world go to hell and do nothing about it? Do you tell me that people who are really saved are left unmoved and unconcerned by the bald and startling statistic that there are more people in the world today who have never heard of Jesus Christ than any time since Christ himself walked the earth? Do you tell me that people who are saved don't get worried about things like that? Don't get moved by things like that? I tell you, my friend, if they're really saved, then they're surely going to have to say, such as I have, I give it to you. I'm giving you it. I'm not the best preacher in the world, but what I have, I'm giving to you in the name of Jesus. I'm not the most brilliant missionary in the world, but I'm giving myself to the work of saving sinners in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's my burden for this church, that God will give us a race of young people. I'm not so young people, but I'm talking now about people who are just starting out, that the Lord will give us a race of them who are not going to worry how much money they can make in the world. And they're not going to worry how much pleasure they can accumulate in the world. And they're not going to worry what sort of a house they can get for their wife and family. But they're going to say, Lord, I'm going to give that all to thee. And I'm giving everything I am and have for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the salvation of the lost. I'm going out. You get people like this man, whom the church has given up for dead and useless, and been out to see them saved. Why, there's a whole world out there that needs to be won. God give us people who can get up off their chair and start to do something for God. Peter and John certainly exercised their authority in a generous way. What I have, I'm giving to you. And I'm going to, in the name of Jesus, command your healing, command your salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.